ईश्वर कृष्ण यत्र भारतो धनुर्धना तत्र श्रीर्विजया भूतिर् द्रुवीर्नीतिर्मतिर् मम। श्रीमद् भागवत गीता इज समटाइम्स कॉल्ड Gītopanishad. It is the summary, the essence of all the knowledge of the Vedas. What one attempts to understand through lifetimes of studying the four Vedas, the 108 Upanishads, the 18 Puranas, the Brahma Sutra, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and the various supplementary Vedic literatures can easily be understood by simply comprehending the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. It is the basic principles of spirituality which is called upon by the name of Sanatana Dharma. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is the supreme most book which has given this great land of Bharatvarsha dignity in the minds of sincere thinkers throughout the world, throughout history. Great devotees from every one of the great religions on this planet have submerged their minds in the profound philosophy of Sri Krishna, as spoken in Gita, to grasp the deeper truths of their own religion. Today in India, there is much quarrel, much confusion in regard to the conflict of various religions. Also, we find so much suffering being caused by the perverted understanding of the divine and sacred caste system. We also find an onslaught of immorality, unethical behavior from the highest levels to the most insignificant. And we find the youth of our country being swallowed by the jaws of illusion, materialism, and disregard for the basic principles of humanity. All of these diseases can only be cured. All of these diseases can only be solved if we turn to the eternal immortal words of God as He has spoken in the Gita. What is Sanatana Dharma? Sanatana Dharma is not a particular religion. It is the essential principle which gives life and substance to all religions. Without the principle of Sanatana Dharma, all religion is reduced to superficiality, ritualism, sectarianism, and fanaticism. Sanatana Dharma means that the eternal function, the natural occupation of every living creature is to live in harmony with the will of God by accepting that we are eternally the servants of the Lord. Krishna explains in the second chapter of Gita, Na jayate mriyate vakadachin nayan bhutva bhavata vanabhuya ajo nitya shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sarire. Vasamsi junani yatha vihaya navani granati naroparani tatha sarirani vihaya janani anyati samyati navani dehi. Dehino smin yatha dehe komaram yovaram jara. Tatha dehantara praptya dhiras tatra namuhyate. That the basic principle of all suffering is the misplaced ego, which conceives that I am this material body. And if I am this material body, that means I am a man or I am a woman. I am young or I am old. I am of this particular caste or I am of that particular caste. I am of this particular religion or that particular religion. I am of this particular nation or that particular nation. I am of this particular species of life or another. But Krishna explains that the soul is eternal. The body is temporary. The body is subjected to janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, old age, disease, and death. And as we go old, and as we die, all of our conceptions die along with us. When our body is placed in the fire of the funeral pyre, the fire does not discriminate whether your body is American, Russian, Pakistani, or Indian. The fire does not discriminate whether you are Hindu, Muslim, Jain, Buddhist, or Christian, or Jew. The fire does not distinguish whether you are from a Brahmin caste or an untouchable caste. The fire reduces this body to ashes. And if our form of disposal of this body is burial, the worms do not question what nationality, what religion, or what caste you are. They eat you all the same. And if the birds come to eat you, they also do not make any distinction. Ultimately, with death, all of our conceptions of reality and who we are finished, along with this body. Nashato vijate bhavo na bhavo vijate shata ubhayor abhidristantas tvanayosvata dharashibhi. Krishna explains in the Gita that which is truth and that which is worthy of a human being to strive to attain is that which is eternal. And whatever is temporary is only a manifestation of illusion. It is not worth the dignity of the rare species of a human being to be chasing after the flickering conceptions of this body and their senses. Therefore, Krishna explains that as the body passes from boyhood to youth to old age, similarly, at the time of death, the body passes into another form. And what is that form? We are so foolish. If somebody is obsessed with hatred for someone of another religion. He's always thinking of those people. Right? And he may create big armies to attack them. But if he dies because he's so conscious of them, he'll probably be born in that religion, and then all of his own armies will come to attack him and kill him. Huh? So the laws of nature. Yam yam vapi smaran bhava chichachante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavata. What you think of, you become. There is a story of a very, very high-class, wealthy merchant who just worked and worked and worked throughout his life to develop his family empire. And he established a beautiful estate with wonderful buildings. And he had a wonderful family. And he was thinking that soon I have to die, I am becoming old, all of my prestige, all of my wealth, everything is going to be taken away from me. What can I take with? But there's one thing that I can be proud of in this world, that at least I am leaving behind all of these wonderful facilities for my family to enjoy. So the laws of karma are very mysterious. He took birth as a very poor and very deprived person, just outside of the walls of his estate. But by his karma, he had complete recollection of his previous birth. And he was conscious of all the work he did and all he did for his family and his children. So one day, when he grew a little older, he went inside to see his beloved children of his previous life, to see all that he had done for them. And they came and they saw this poor beggar. And they started, his own children started beating him with shoes, spitting on him, and threatened to have him arrested if he ever again trespassed and came upon their property. This is not just a synthesized story. This is what is happening every day in millions of instances all over the world. Therefore, the Gita, more than any other scripture, explains very succinctly the fundamental basic principles of truth. I am not this body. I am the eternal soul. And what is the eternal occupation of the soul? Sanatana Dharma. Krishna explains in Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papevyo Moksha Isha Simachacha. Sanatana Dharma is to abandon all other conceptions of who you are, to abandon all other conceptions of religion, and just to surrender to Krishna, surrender to God. Now, what does it mean to surrender to God? Everyone has their own opinion of what it means to surrender to Krishna. But Krishna explains through the 700 verses of the Gita what is his opinion. His opinion is absolute. Man mana bhavamad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishyasi satyam te prati jani priyoshi. To always think of me, to become my devotee. Whatever you do should be done as an offering of love to me. Athapum beard vijastrestas varnashram vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidir haritoshanam. It is explained, whatever category our body may be born into, whatever capabilities we may have, It is not that one is higher or one is lower. We are all meant to work in harmony together for the pleasure of God. Our body has a head. Our body has arms. Our body has a belly and legs. Unless all of these limbs work together in harmony, the body is considered diseased and it cannot find any real happiness or peace. The head is not meant to exploit the rest of the body. The head is meant to serve the whole body by giving direction. The arms are not meant to beat upon and subjugate the rest of the body. The arms are meant to protect the body, to protect every single limb of the body. Similarly, the Brahmin caste is the head of society. But Krishna says, Chaturvarna mayastristam guna karma vibhagasha. Krishna says this caste system has nothing to do with what family you're born in. It has to do with what are your qualities and what are your activities. If you do not act like a Brahmin, you are not a Brahmin. If you do not have the qualities of a Brahmin, you are not a Brahmin. Makes no difference what you're born. This is what Krishna teaches. A Brahmin is a humble servant of all the other classes. And how does he serve? By giving spiritual and moral direction, like the head, by giving intelligence, guidance, and vision as a service to God and humanity. And a kshatriya, the politicians, the military, the administrators of the lands, they are like the arms of society. Their purpose is to serve the body, the social body of humanity, by providing protection, by living in harmony with the direction of the head, the Brahmins. And the belly, the Vaishyas, the mercantile and agricultural men, they are like the belly. They are meant to give nourishment to the entire body as a service by providing trade, by providing food grains and milk, by providing all of the facilities that we require in our daily lives. It is a service. And the Sudra, they are considered the legs of society. Now, does anyone consider the leg to be less important? A fool. Just like right now, I have injured knee. And because of this, my whole body is experiencing so much trouble, so much problem. Huh? The rest of my body has so much difficulty getting anywhere. You saw me coming. I'm like old man with this cane. Huh? And even with the cane, I can hardly walk. At any moment, I'm about to fall down. Huh? How much we depend on our legs. Every part of our body is so much interrelated to our legs. So similarly, the Sudra class, the laborers, they serve society by giving support, by giving service, by assisting. And if the lower castes are not satisfied, if they are not properly treated, our whole society is like a society with broken legs. It can't go anywhere. This is the teachings of Gita. How every part of the body must work in harmony in the service of the whole body. Similarly, whatever our designations may be in this world, we have to live according to the prescribed duty that God gives us according to our natural qualities and activities. And if we do, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas, the whole society develops love and trust for one another, and the whole society progresses together toward the ultimate peace and joy of the kingdom of God. It is so simple. It is so practical. It is so easy to apply in our life. But because of ignorance of the word of the Bhagavad Gita, just see the complexities and the chaos of our world today. Why? Krishna explains in Gita, Yayato Vishayan Pungsang Sangaste Shubhajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodha Vajayate Krodhat Bhavati Somohat Samohat Smriti Vibrama Smriti Brahmshat Budhinasho Budhinashat Puranashiti Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajoguna Shamudbhava Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyanami Havairanam. That people are so much attached to the objects of the senses. They are so much victimized by lobha, greed, and kama, lust. And on the basis of this attachment, they become so angry with one another, so much quarrel, so much conflict and fighting, so much competition, hatred, that the most basic principle of society, the family, even brothers are fighting and threatening to kill one another and battling in courts and not even speaking to each other or even looking at each other in the eyes. Brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, children and parents. Why? Greed, lobha, lust, kama. We find this everywhere. Why is this happening? Because we don't concern ourselves with the teachings of Gita. Krishna explains that this material attachment, this desire to enjoy anything, is the greatest, most sinful enemy of human society. And we are not only embracing our enemy, we are surrendering our lives to our worst enemy. And we're thinking that this will bring me prosperity, peace and glory. And what does it give you? In every instance, nothing but the opposite effect. The Bhagavad Gita explains, Apuryama nama chala pratishtam samudrama prapavishanti yadva tatvat kamayam prabhisanti sarvesha shantim apnota nakama kami. That unless we learn to find peace in our eternal nature, as the servant of the servant of God and the servant of the servant of every aspect of God, there is no question of peace no matter what we attain. We find in Gita Duryodhana. He is such an unpopular personality. Even 5,000 years after he died, we are still talking about what a crazy, selfish fool he was. Huh. And what was his goal of life? Eternal fame and glory. Huh. He worked so hard. Everything he worked for, he got the opposite. His own cousin brothers. He lied, he cheated, he exploited, and he stole their property. And how much he was trying to enjoy. But even after living in the palace of Hastinapur and having the rule and the monarchy of the whole world, in that situation, was he ever enjoying? Was he ever finding any peace
not a minute.
Because his greed, his lust, kama and loba, were constantly eating away at his mind. And whatever he had it, he needed more. And whatever he had, he was always fearful of losing it. And he committed the most sinful atrocities against his own beloved relatives. So during his life, he did nothing but suffer. All of his wealth, all of his glory was nothing but like a huge burden, just crushing his head. And yet he was attached to it. If someone wants to take this burden that's crushing my heart, I'll fight and kill them because I've worked so hard for this burden. Huh? This is the state that he was reduced to. And in the end, the truth always prevails. He was laying on the ground with his spine broken in total agony and pain. Humiliated, he lost everything, and he died a miserable, suffering death. And the fame that he worked so hard for, as we all know, was transformed, was putrefied into eternal infamy. But Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to find peace, how to find joy, and how to seek meaning in life through the selfless service of God. That is the only principle that we should live by. Krishna explains in Gita, ahankara vimudatma karataham iti manyate, that this false ego, that I am this body and all things in this relationship to this body are mine, it must be extinguished by knowledge, by truth, that we are all eternally the servant of Krishna, that we are all meant simply for the pleasure of Krishna. This is Sanatan Dharma. This is the greatest need in human society, for these principles to be properly understood and followed. Krishna says in Gita, Jnana Vijnana Triptatma, that knowledge without practical application is useless. Bhagavad Gita is not meant for scholars to sit and read and theorize upon. It is not meant for sannyasis to simply recite many, many times every day. It is meant for every human being, the most common people to the most influential people, to apply to their life, to follow. And how to follow the Gita? Krishna explains, Tadvidi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninasvata darshana. The fact is, you may memorize the entire Gita, but if you do not have a guru to practically explain to you how to live by these teachings, you'll never understand what is Gita. Sa eva yam maya tedya yogo prokta puraktana bhakto sime shakachiti rahasyam hetat utamam. Krishna says that this mystery of the Gita, the secret, Rajavidya Rajaguyam Pavitramitam Uttamam, Krishna says this Bhagavad Gita is the greatest mystery, the greatest secret. Why we call it a secret? There's probably more translations of Gita and more publications of the Gita than practically any other book in the history of human race. Millions, billions of people have read it. Millions are reading it right now, today. Why Krishna calls it the most confidential secret? Because only a bhakta, bhakto simesha kacheti, only a devotee, only a person who is willing to humbly hear from Guru Maharaj and apply these teachings to his life, only that person can understand what is the true essence of Gita. No one else. That is the word of Krishna. We may have our ideas, and our families may have their ideas, and our social clubs may have their ideas, and our priests may have their ideas. But if we want to understand Gita, we must understand and accept what is Krishna's idea. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitramitam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmam Shushukam Karatam Avyayam Ahustvam Rishaya Sarve Devarshunaradastata Asito Devalovyasa Swayam Chaiva Bhavishyame. Arjuna, he explains that Krishna, you are the supreme Brahman. You are the supreme purifier of everything. You are the absolute truth. All the great sages, all the great rishis, all the great acharyas, everyone declares this of you. What you say is satyam param dhimahi. It is the meditation of the absolute truth. And what is guru? Guru is one who without any motivation simply repeats the word of God through his words and through his life. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does it explain that a guru is a wonderful orator of philosophy. Nowhere does it explain that a guru is simply someone who knows how to perform wonderful rituals or comes from a very high classification in society. A guru is one who has surrendered his life in the service of Krishna and all of Krishna's creation. Because that is the essence of Gita. One who teaches this pure devotion and lives by it through the blessings and the mercy of such a soul, only is Gita understood as it is. We often say that in the English-speaking language there was over 100 translations of Gita for generations. And millions of English-speaking people were reading Gita, and do you know, there was not ever a single person that even sincerely attempted to follow it in all those years through reading all of those translations. When Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami translated Bhagavad Gita, he explained in the introduction, the first thing that, please understand my readers, I'm not giving any of my own interpretations, I'm not portraying any of my own ideas, I am only presenting what Krishna said and what all of the great acharyas have understood from his teachings. And that one book transformed the lives of millions. They surrendered everything. Whether they were brahmachari, sannyasis, grihastas, or vanaprastas, they learned how to connect all of their activities, all of their thoughts, and all of their words in the loving service of God. This is the greatest, most profound of all necessities of human civilization. Unless we understand what is the true essential teachings of Gita and apply it to our daily practical life, all we have to look forward to is frustration and death. And all we have to look forward to is a further degeneration of the sanctity and the principles of morality within our society. Therefore, Krishna ends the Gita with this verse. Yatra yogeshwara krishno, yatra partho dhanurdana, tatra srir vijaya bhutir dhruva nitirama tiramama. That wherever people remember Krishna, the chariot driver of Arjuna, and wherever they remember Arjuna, that great carrier of the Gandiva bow, and whenever we remember this divine conversation that took place between God and His servant, there is 100% guarantee, certainty of being victory, prosperity, great opulence, fearlessness, morality. This is the supreme benediction upon all humanity. The Word of God. How to always remember Krishna. How to always be in unity, in yoga, with Krishna. Krishna says in Gita, Satatam kirtayantomam yatantashchadritavrita. Always chant my glories and endeavor with great determination to serve me. Without determination, we are belittled to the platform of animals. What is the difference between a human and an animal? Not nice clothes, nice homes, big professional positions, education. That is not the difference between a human and an animal. Every animal has his own position, his own technical expertise. The difference between a human and an animal is a human being has the power to understand what is the truth. And with great determination, he's willing to make sacrifices to follow that truth. If we are not willing to give up, to sacrifice our time, to perform our sadhana, to purify our heart, we are not human beings. Some people think a human being is someone who just doesn't hurt anybody else. The rabbits don't hurt anyone else either. The goats do not hurt anyone else either. Huh? I will just not hurt anyone else and I'll do my work. That's human civilization. 80% of the animals are doing the same thing. Human life means to submit oneself, to humbly inquire, to understand what is the Gita's words, and with determination to follow. We have to accept whatever is favorable, however difficult it is for our spiritual progress, and we must reject everything and anything that is unfavorable. Today people are very active to make money, but when it comes to their spiritual life, they are so lazy. They just don't have time. This means animal life. This means no dhritavrata, no determination for the higher principles. Society is materialistic. Society is going in the is floating in the current of the river of sin and immorality and illusion. godlessness. If we want to follow the principles of the Gita, we have to stand up and swim against this current. And you will be criticized. You will be laughed at. You will be called crazy, foolish, impractical by people who are swept away by the illusion of lust. And if you do not have the determination to stand for what is right and in the truth, in the face of this opposition, then you are an animal. Then you cannot understand what is Sanatana Dharma. You cannot taste the sweet fruit of real love, real devotion. So to always be in harmony, always be in unity with Krishna in everything we do, that is the essence of Gita. And Lord Sri Krishna appeared in this Kali Yuga as Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach everyone a simple process by which whatever our previous background may be, we could all come together on an equal, harmonious plane to glorify God and to love one another. He has taught us the means by which everyone and anyone could keep their mind, their consciousness, in connection with God, and through that connection, purify the heart and awaken the natural propensities of eternal servitor. The Satchit Ananda existence within us is awakened when we learn to come together and chant the beautiful sound of God's holy name. Krishna's name, all of the names of God, Ram, Narasingha, all of these great names, Bhagavan Shankar, these are all pure spiritual sound vibrations which awaken the eternal nature of the soul. When that nature is awakened, Sanatana Dharma is truly understood. To follow the principles of Gita, to submit oneself before the self-realized souls, and to chant the holy name is all that is required to perfect our life and solve the problems of this world. We may think that how will I solve the problems of the world? I am only one man, and there are so many billions of crazy people on this earth doing so many things. What is my power? Do not underestimate the power of God. If you're willing to live with determination and make the sacrifice of offering your life to Krishna, He can empower you, even if you are a simple, uneducated housewife, He can empower you to purify this entire planet to an incredible degree. And that is a fact. Of course, we all know that if we cannot love the parts and parcels of God who we can see, how can we love that Paramatma, that Supreme God, who we cannot see in our present state? Huh? This congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord brings about a progress toward both the descent of the unseen God into our life, by which we can have His personal darshan. And simultaneously, because we are chanting in congregation with so many other sincere souls, we also develop a spiritual love toward one another. Without that spiritual love toward one another, there is no possibility of the descent of God within our own lives. Therefore, this is the beauty and glory of this process of congregational chanting of the Holy Name. If we sincerely chant together, all of the obstacles and barriers of false ego that are between us are broken down. All of the misconceptions of the differences between us are broken down. We come together on the essential spiritual level that we are all part of God. We are all parts of God's body. We are all meant to work together, to love one another. For what purpose? For the pleasure of Krishna. For the upliftment and compassion of all those suffering in this world. This is the true understanding of the chanting of God's name. And this process brings about a very rapid understanding of the true essence of Bhagavad Gita. So my request to you